Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's look at John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, abiding in the Holy Spirit. And you can find the study on abideinchrist.com, 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 and go to John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, abiding in the Holy Spirit. Mark Twain tells of the day that the king and queen of a far-off country were bringing their new little prince home from the royal hospital. On the way home, their carriage collided with a poor pauper's cart. And in the humble vehicle, the poor man was bringing his wife and new baby home from the midwife's house. In the confusion of the moment, the two couples pick up the wrong babies by mistake, and the little prince went home to be raised by the pauper and his wife. As the baby grew into childhood, he was forced to go into the streets and beg for food. However, unknown to him, the very streets he begged on belonged to him because they were the property of his true father. Day in, day out, he would go to the palace and looking through the iron fence at the little boy playing there, and he would say to himself, "Man, if only I were a prince." And of course, he was the prince, but he was not aware of that fact. He lived his whole life in poverty because he didn't know who he really was, since he didn't know who his father was. How true this is of many Christians. It's easy to go through life doing the same thing. They have never taken time to find out to whom they belong. They have never realized who their real father is. And ever since the day we were born spiritually, we became sons and daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are heirs of a royal throne. How sad to think we go through self-imposed spiritual poverty and cheat ourselves out of the riches of God's marvelous grace. The riches are there, whether we enjoy them or not. God the Father has made provision for every need in your daily life with Jesus Christ. Many believers are unbelievers when it comes to taking God at His word when He tells us who we are in Christ Jesus. From the moment you believed on Jesus Christ, God has provided you with everything you need to live the Christian life. Jesus promised to send the Paraclete to His disciples. Jesus promised His disciples a helper in John chapter 15, verse 25. "When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, and He will bear witness to me, and you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning." Carefully note the context is abiding in Christ. The secret of the Christian life is found in John chapter 15, verse 5, when Jesus told His disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." This abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in us and the coming of the Holy Spirit are intimately related. You cannot abide in Christ without walking in the Spirit. And if there is no walking, there is no abiding. Abiding is a continuous thing. Your Christian life began with a once-for-all commitment of your life to Jesus Christ. You live it one day at a time. Begin every morning with a fresh commitment of your life to Jesus Christ. Make it a simple prayer. "Lord Jesus, I give this day to you. It is yours. Live your life through me. Abide in Him. Let Him abide in you," is a choice I make every day, and then throughout the day. The Parakletos is coming to dwell in you, in believers, was the message Jesus was promising his disciples. The Parakletos is coming to indwell his believers. Who is this Parakletos? The word means to call alongside to help. He is the one who comes to aid in the court of justice. Jesus was the first helper. Every function of Jesus performed, the Holy Spirit also is seen performing in the Gospel of John. Both Jesus and the Holy Spirit teach truth, abides in the disciples, bears witness, comes from the Father. The world does not know either of them. The Parakletos is not only like Jesus in nature, he is also like Jesus in activity. The Holy Spirit is the divine presence when Jesus' physical presence is taken away from the believer. The Holy Spirit is the continuing presence of Jesus within the believer. Each generation of believers is as close to Jesus Christ as the last. The Parakletos is the immediate link between Jesus and his disciples in every generation. The Comforter, the Encourager, our Helper abides or dwells in all true believers. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, "And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And we know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." John went on to say, "And by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. He is also called the Spirit of Truth in John chapter 15, verse 26. He guides us in the truth of God's Word. Jesus said, "But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." John chapter 16, verse 13. He also points us to Christ. "He shall glorify me, for he shall take up mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." John chapter 16, verses 14 and 15. The Holy Spirit never glorifies himself. The Spirit is essentially self-effacing. He does not seek his own glory. He will only glorify Jesus Christ and God the Father. Any movement that glorifies the Spirit instead of Jesus Christ is alien to the teachings of Jesus Christ about the Holy Spirit. He is the revealer of Jesus Christ. He's the alter ego of Jesus Christ. He will bear witness of Christ to the believer. The context is discipleship. His primary work is in the life of the believer, and he will enable us to bear witness to Jesus Christ. The result of our abiding in Christ will be obvious. Jesus says, "You will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning," in verse 27. Jesus had to leave before the Helper could come, in John chapter 16, verse 7. Both Jesus and his Father are seen sending the Parakletos. In John chapter 16, verse 7, we see Jesus sending the Spirit. "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper would not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." In John chapter 14, verse 16, and Jesus said the Father would send the Spirit in his name. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." The Holy Spirit is another helper of the same kind. Jesus is also called a Parakletos. He was a helper of the Father. And the Spirit abides in the believer forever, we're told in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 20. He works in the believer to produce an intimate love relationship with God. He leads us into truth. He applies the Word of God to our lives. He is the comforter, encourager, the helper who comes to our aid. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him, but you know Him because He abides in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And after a little while, the world will behold me no more. But you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verses 17 through 20. The Holy Spirit brings to mind God's truth. He causes you to remember His word and applies it to life situations in John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. What the disciples may have forgotten will be recalled to their memories. And when they were called to teach and to write the Gospels, the Holy Spirit chose what to include in the Gospel. He calls them to remember events and to include those events. A number of years ago, I was being called upon by our mission organization to consider an additional responsibility that would broaden my ministry to include several other mission agencies serving in Latin America. I was deeply burdened that I would make the right decision. It was a critical moment in our ministry. And I woke up that Thanksgiving day with two passages of Scripture flooding my mind. Two verses filled my mind all day long. The Holy Spirit called to my conscious memory Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things that you do not know." And how shall He do it? The other passage of Scripture that filled my mind that day with peace was Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." A few months later, as we made plans to return to the Republic of Ecuador and to the new ministry, I was down on my knees beside the couch in prayer, committing the financial and ministry needs to the Lord. I stood up after prayer with perfect peace that the Lord was going to provide all of our needs. That night at 9:15, two colleagues, Herb and Faye Kennard, called on the phone. Herb's opening words were, "We don't know what is happening in your life, but we were deeply impressed of God to call you." God, the Holy Spirit, was at work confirming His plan of ministry. God had been speaking to Herb and Faye through His word, and they were submissive. His teaching will always be in fullest harmony with what Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit will not in any way contradict or replace what Jesus taught. The Holy Spirit is always Christocentric. The center and the circumference is always Jesus Christ. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are always in perfect harmony. He indwells the believer and leads them in the right way. He leads and directs the believer into a fuller understanding of who Jesus Christ is. He enables us to bear witness to other believers. The unbeliever cannot know Him. Spiritual truths are foolishness to them. An excellent example is the recent media coverage of the Southern Baptist Convention's commitment to the family. all four of the networks on the prime time news sneered their faces and derided with their strident voices the statement on marriage and faith. And being spiritually dead, they could not comprehend why we believe and accept the family values based upon the Word of God. Jesus said, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides in you and will be in you." John chapter 14, verse 17. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, the unbeliever is spiritually dead. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, and according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." What then is the work of the Holy Spirit to those who are spiritually dead? In John chapter 3, verse 3 and 5 through 7 tells us the Holy Spirit gives spiritual life. Physical birth and spiritual birth do not take place at the same time. Jesus met Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader, one night. The conversation began by Nick telling Jesus what a wonderful teacher he was. And Jesus' reply was, "Nick, you are religious, but you're spiritually dead." And they couldn't comprehend it. Jesus answered and said to him in John chapter 3, verse 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it's coming from or where it's going. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit." John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. We are all still born spiritually. We're spiritually dead until the Holy Spirit regenerates us and gives us spiritual birth. The way into the kingdom of God is not by putting forth our best effort. It requires a completely different life. We must be born spiritually. It is a fresh new start, a new birth. It is free from the old life. It is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus is speaking of something completely new. And the way to God is by regeneration brought about by the Holy Spirit. We do not enter a right relationship with God through our own energies or devising. We enter God's family when the Holy Spirit of God remakes us. John chapter 6, verse 63 tells us in the words of Jesus, "It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." Because we are spiritually dead, it's only the Holy Spirit of God who can bring the lost sinner to believe in Jesus Christ. And without that, there's no Christianity. The Holy Spirit initiates spiritual life. It does not begin by a desperate human attempt to bring it about. It's not something we merit. We don't agonize for it. We cannot earn God's favor. The Holy Spirit regenerates the believer by divine power. New believer's life is characterized by God's presence and power. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 12 reveals the Spirit's work in the unbeliever. Only the Spirit of God can cause a person to see his sinfulness and the righteousness of Christ brought about through the death of Christ on the cross. "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away," said Jesus. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, concerning righteousness because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me, and concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged, and I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. I cannot convict a person of sin. If you and I try to convict people, they blow up in our faces and want to fight. They think it is a personal attack on them. However, when God the Holy Spirit puts his finger on sin, we feel the heavy weight of God's wrath and the judgment upon us. We become convicted of our evil, and it causes us to see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We cannot do the work of the Spirit. We are doomed to despair if we try to do so. Christ will always be exalted, Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verses 13 through 15. And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said, he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Sinners need a friend in God's court. The new believer finds spiritual food and drink. We're told in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. John tells us that on the last day, the great day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried out, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Are you appropriating the spiritual food God has provided for you? Are you drinking at his fountain? Are you eating his spiritual diet? That's the only way you can abide in Christ. You have to drink from his fountain. You have to drink his water. You have to eat his daily bread so you don't dry up like a withered branch and are severed. Disciples need all the help they can get. We're told this in John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. John tells us of an interesting experience the disciples had with Jesus after he was risen from the dead. It appears the disciples are all gathered with Jesus in a closed room. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they shall be retained." John does not say Jesus walked around the room breathing on each of them individually. The gift he gave was the gift for the group as a whole. It was a gift to the whole church. This is probably the group that's mentioned in Luke chapter 24, verses 33 and following. And the gift is the Holy Spirit himself. The gift was made to the group wholly, not only as individuals. The prophetic breathing was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost as recorded in Acts chapter 2. What a privilege to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church does not do the forgiving. God does. The church can only proclaim the divine prerogative. God forgives. And as we proclaim the gospel, people respond to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and are completely forgiven of all of their sins. Right here today, this passage of Scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing and before your very eyes. There are some individuals listening to my voice today who have believed God's Word and accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. You have come to know God's forgiveness. There are others who are listening, and their response is, "No way. Man, this is dumb. Who could be so foolish to believe that a man dying on the cross 2,000 years ago could save me today?" If these are your thoughts, you're dead spiritually and eternally damned and separated from the Lord God. If you reject His message and His forgiveness, you'll spend an eternity in hell, separated from the Lord God. We simply declare what God has already done in Jesus Christ. The Spirit-led church has the authority to preach the gospel, which either brings men to repentance and believes in Christ and therefore forgiveness, or else it leaves them unresponsive to the offer of the forgiveness of their sins. How tragic to refuse the offer of God's forgiveness and be left in your sins for all eternity. Do you know His forgiveness? Do you carry a weight of guilt, a heavy load you cannot walk away from? Do you know His abiding presence in your daily life? Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans." He's referring to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus left this earth and went back to heaven so we could have the universal spiritual presence of Jesus Christ abiding and living in us. As the Father is present in the Son, and so the Son is present in the Spirit, Christ came to bring God in concrete historical manifestation. The Spirit came to bring Jesus Christ in inner spiritual realization. The Holy Spirit is the power that makes Christ a living reality in our experience. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and He has come to reveal Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus is the ultimate reality of God. There's nothing to be known of God beyond the reality of His grace in Jesus Christ in your life. His work is to reveal Jesus Christ. Have you been born spiritually? Have you come to an intimate love relationship with Jesus Christ? You can right now, this very moment, by confessing God that you are not what He wants you to be, and believe on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Admit to Him that you are a sinner, that you failed to be what He wants you to be. Confess to Him that you need salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. And believe that when Jesus Christ went to the cross and died, He died for all of your sins on that cross and rose from the dead. And right now, this very moment, He's offering you the free gift of eternal life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It's not something that you do. It's something that God has done in the person of His Son. The wages of sin is death. But the good news is that the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Right now, this very moment, believe on Jesus Christ. He will be your Lord and Savior for all eternity. The eternal consequences are true. There's forgiveness. There's life in Jesus Christ. There's eternal separation from God in hell for those who reject Him. Believe on Jesus Christ and you'll be saved right now. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.